want to welcome you. It's good to have you with us this morning, and we trust that God will minister to you. I'm back for a second week running. Usually means I've come back to apologize for the first week, but hopefully... I must confess, I'm still a little bit sore from my splits illustration last week. I'm still aching a little bit. It's not a sermon I'm going to be preaching very often, I have to confess. But I hope none of you are trying that at home, because this week, putting it into practice is not always a wise thing. You see, we need to hear from God, don't we? You know, and I thank God for the words that have been brought already, and what Annie and Pastor Tony have shared already, because, you know, God brings all things together, and he works all things together for the good of those that love God, Romans 8:28, you know, and we need God's word. If you listen to Premier Radio, you might have heard an advert recently advertising teaching by John Stott. Now, John Stott's an old school Bible teacher, and it makes me smile, actually, because it says, we've been listening to this word for over 2 millennia, and it's amazing how week after week we can still come back and listen to this word and hear its teaching and find it relevant to our lives. And it's so true, isn't it? It's still relevant. It was written over 2 millennia ago, but it's still worth our while to delve and to dig and to find out more of what God's got to say, because, as Nigel says, God has always got more to say. He always has more. And the best advice I can give you today, this morning, is to read the manual. Read the instruction manual. Not like I did when I bought an electric scooter for Emily a few Christmases ago. I was actually ahead of myself for once, unusual for me, and we found one on Gumtree or eBay or some tree, whatever it is, and it was in Exeter, so I was driving through Exeter, and I picked it up on the way. I think I was going somewhere like Scotland or Timbuktu or somewhere, and I put this scooter in the boot and thought nothing more of it. And it's a well-travelled scooter. It's been thousands of miles before it's even hit the road. And I got back to back home, and I put it in the garage, out of sight, out of mind, out of Emily's sight anyway, and thought, you know, I'll just leave it there till Christmas. And then I forgot about it, unfortunately, because Christmas Eve, I suddenly thought, it's Christmas Day tomorrow, isn't it? And we got Emily an electric scooter, and it's sitting in the garage, and it's probably flat as a pancake. Oh no, I better get it charged. So I brought it in by secret of night and plugged it in, ready for action, left it on charge, and then thought, I'll give it a quick try down the landing. And, got this scooter out, try it, and nothing. Not even a peep. Can you believe it? I'm thinking, I was well miffed. I know you never like that, but I was a little bit upset. I'm thinking, these people sell you these things, sell you a pop, and you go and buy it, and I've been taken for a ride, not on a scooter, I've been taken on a ride somewhere else. It means no Emily's got no present, and oh, what am I going to do? So I sat up in the wee small hours, taking it all to bits and checked all the switches, checked the battery and the controls, and I thought, well, it's got to be the control module. That's the only thing that's not working. So I found a replacement on eBay again, ordered it, and hopefully it'll come over the Christmas period to not avoid too much disappointment. And praise God, it arrived shortly after Christmas. So once again, I sat up in the wee small hours and trying to install this new module, because it's never simple, is it? It never just fits, does it, Matt? You know that from the bike trade. It never fits if you're putting a new thing in. It's always different. There's always a different mounting or something that causes you pain and challenge. And anyway, I eventually managed to do it, delighted with myself, turned it on, tried it again, and same thing again. Can you believe it? Wouldn't even move. I'm thinking, what is this thing they've sold us? I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. There's nothing else there. I can't believe it. So I thought, well, all I can do is try and put the old one back again. I took it to bits again. I put the old one back. And in sheer exasperation, I thought, I wonder if there's any instructions for this unit online. Because they'd never give me the instructions. And sure enough, after a bit of searching, I found what I was looking for. The operating manual for the scooter. And what did it say? In big, bold lettering right on the front page, this scooter will not operate until it gets up to a speed of 4 miles an hour, when the motor will start to turn. This is not a fault, it's a safety feature. I think some jolly safety feature this is. So I took it outside, it was probably about 2 in the morning, took it outside, scooted down the road a bit, and off it went. There was nothing wrong with it at all. After all that time, all that pain, anguish, taking it to bits, doing it, trying to order bits, Emily not getting her present. There was nothing wrong with it. I couldn't believe it. Every time I see that scooter now, I give it a kick as I go past. The moral of the story is, read the manual.
Amen.
And there are many people out there, and sadly there are some people in church, who are struggling with life, trying to find things online that will help them to fix things and fix their lives. But I tell you, there's only one person qualified. Only one person. Come on, give Jesus praise. Because my Bible tells me he's the author and the finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. He's the one who lifts us up from the pit of despair and out of the miry clay and sets our feet on a rock and gives us a firm foundation, Psalm 40, verse 2. He's the one who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light, 1 Peter 2:9. And he's the one who meets all our needs according to his riches in glory, Philippians 4:19. He's the one who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or imagine, Ephesians 3:20. And therefore we can confidently say, and there's a word again for someone this morning, we can confidently say, Psalm 27, 13 to 14, I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Now, let me tell you, that means while you're still alive.
Right.
It doesn't mean your blessing will be in heaven. Sometimes people say to me, oh, yes, yeah, what's my reward then? I said, well, your reward's in heaven, isn't it? Well, no, this is talking about a blessing here on earth while you're still alive.
That's
hallelujah. Because
right.
We are blessed according to Abraham's blessing and blessed to be a blessing.
Right.
And God wants you to be blessed so that you can go and be a blessing to others. Hallelujah. I am still confident of this. Are you confident of this? His word is with power. Hallelujah. As the elderly lady found out when she returned home from church one day and was startled by this intruder who was robbing her house. And without hesitation, she said, stop, Acts 2:38. Which says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, the burglar stopped dead in his tracks. The woman calmly phoned the police. The officer came in, and as he was cuffing the man, he asked the burglar, why did you just stand there? All the old lady did was yell a scripture at you. He says, scripture? He says, I thought she said she'd got an axe and 2:38. His word is with power. His word is with power. You try it. Next time you see someone coming to your garage, Acts 2:38, and see what they do. Maybe you have to get a real one, I don't know. But you know, his word is with power. And his word for you can be with power. It's the same word that was with power in generations gone. It's the same word that's in power today. Hallelujah. So let's read his word. Genesis chapter 35, I'm going to read how Jacob returned to Bethel. You can follow it with me. Genesis chapter 35, verse 1. It says, then God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there. Build an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, get rid of all the foreign gods you have with you. Purify yourself and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress. There is a God who answers us in the day of our distress.
Yeah, that's right.
And who has been with me wherever I have gone, and who is still with us wherever we go, Emmanuel, God with us. Verse 4, so they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Then they set out, and the terror of God fell upon the towns all around them, so that no one pursued them. You're fed up of being pursued? You need to go to Bethel. And then, as you do, it says the terror of God fell upon those around you. Because, you know, I was out running on the other day around, Richmond Park. And this lady comes past me, and she comes past me. It was almost like she was manifesting. Either she thought I was ugly or something. But I'm thinking, my goodness, you know, we have power. We have authority.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, and at the name of Jesus, the demons tremble. they tremble. So when we men and women of God go by, the demons tremble. Hallelujah. That's why greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. And we need to know these things and know these things. Where was I? I was in the middle of Genesis 35. Sorry, I got a bit distracted there. Verse 5. Thank you very much. I'm glad someone was paying attention. Then they set out. The terror of God fell upon the towns and all around them, so that no one pursued them. Jacob and all the people with him came to Luz, that's Bethel, in the land of Canaan. There he built an altar and he called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the oak below Bethel, so it was named Alon Bakuth. After Jacob returned from Padan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel. So he named him Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will come from your body. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you. Then God went up from him at the place where he had talked with him. Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked to him, and he poured out a drink offering on it, and he poured out oil on it. And Jacob called the place where God had talked with him Bethel, Bethel. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the power of your word, Lord. May you give us ears to hear. May it go forth sharper than a two-edged sword as it divides even joint and marrow. This morning, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, I wonder what things we chase after. What are we running after? What are we trying to catch that we're not meant to be trying to catch, that we're not meant to be chasing? Or some things that perhaps are already within our grasp and there for the taking that we should be chasing and should be running after. We run after so many things. It was a bit like when we were taking Lord and Lady Williams to catch the Paddington Express to London from Torquay Station. And I was, unlike myself normally, I was a little bit late. It is unusual, I know. We got to Torquay Station just a couple of minutes late and the train had already departed. Oh dear. But undeterred, we got back in the car and we headed for the next stop, Newton Abbot. Well, we got into Newton Abbot Station with about a minute to spare, but by the time we'd pulled up, they got out and they got to the platform. It was too late and they'd missed it again. Well, I'm not one to give up. I wasn't driving all the way to London, but I'm not one to give up. So we got back in the car and I said, I know it's a high-speed train, it's a grand vitesse, but this is a voiture, a grand vitesse. This is a fast car, okay? I said, I know what it is, and I know God enables us to soar on the wings of eagles. So we set off for Exeter. And with about 30 seconds to spare, they got to the platform just as the train was pulling in, and with God, all things are possible. I don't know about soaring, but as we were traveling, I did hear Pastor Tony say, Lord, put the kettle on, I'm coming home for tea. And like me chasing after Sim when I wanted to go out with her, I knew that we'd made it. Hallelujah. Amen. There are some things we should be chasing after, and there are some things we shouldn't be chasing after. And we spend so much time running and chasing that we forget what it says in Psalm 46, verse 10, where it says, be still and know that I am God. Because some of us are constantly chasing things and constantly running after the next great thing, the next great blessing, the next great ministry. We miss the being still bit. And as a consequence of missing the being still bit, we miss the knowing God bit. Because when we miss the still, we miss the know. And you know what we sang earlier? And I know you never fail. When you miss the still bit, you don't know every time that he never fails, because you've not been still in his presence enough to know that he never fails. And when you miss the still bit, you miss the knowing. And as Nigel said, John 8:32, when we know the truth we know will set us free. But sadly, God's people are destroyed through a lack of knowledge, a lack of knowledge, because we're not still enough to know that he is our deliverer, our strong tower. He is the one we run to. Be still and know that I am God. Because when we don't do the still, we miss the know. And when we miss the know, we are not those who know their God. And we don't do great exploits in the name of the Lord, Daniel 11:32. But when we are still, and when we do know, we are those who do great exploits in the name of our God. Hallelujah. And there is a need to pause. There is a need for Christians, and I include myself in this, and I've got 16 fingers pointing back and half a finger pointing out this morning. We need to learn to pause and reflect. The word used in the Psalms is Selah, meaning to pause and reflect, to chew on, to meditate on God's word, to be still long enough to know for God to be able to speak to us and allow us to actually take in what he's saying to us. Because sometimes we hear God and we rush out, and by the time we got to the door, we've forgotten what pastor preached on. It's funny how we can always remember it if he preaches the same thing again. I don't know, I don't get that. You know, 2 years down the line, oh, you preached that 2 years ago. Well, what did I say? Oh, I can't remember. I can't remember what you preached on last week. How does that work? I don't know. But, you know, we need to pause and reflect and allow God's word to sink into our hearts and actually listen to what, you know, we sometimes hear, but we don't listen. We don't listen. That's why God gave us those 2 ears and that one mouth. That's the proportion in what we should be using, those two bits of the body, twice as much listening as we do speaking. And this was where Jacob was at in our reading. You see, he'd spent so much time running away after deceiving his father Isaac, deceiving his brother Esau, and cheating him out of his birthright. And he'd gone to live with his uncle Laban for years and years, and incidentally, he was cheated and tricked by Laban on many occasions when you read how he tried to get Rachel as his wife. You see, what goes around comes around. Galatians 6:7, do not be mocked. Do not be deceived even. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And sadly, some of us are reaping what we've sown. And God is saying, and God was saying to Jacob, enough is enough. Enough is enough. It's time to stop and take stock. Just like God said to Jacob, it's time to reset. It's time to do what we have to do so often with the Windows operating system on our PCs and laptop. It's time to control, alt, delete, reset, and start again. So if you want a title for my message today, it's control, alt, delete. Start again, reset, and come back to the place where God is. It's time to reset. And I believe that one of the things that's happened in Christendom and that's happened through the COVID-19 pandemic is to cause the world, including the church, and God has used this, to cause the church to stop, to pause, to reflect, reevaluate everything we've ever done, why we did it, why do we still do it, what are we doing? God's used it as a wake-up call to the church. And he's calling us to reset, to stop, to reset, to reevaluate everything and to seek God afresh, to see what he is doing now for the now moment, for such a time as this. Ephesians 5:14 to 16. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful in how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. As we heard earlier, the days are evil. That's why we have to be as wise as serpents, as shrewd as serpents, but as gentle as doves. That's why we need to pause and reflect and see what God is saying for the moment. It's no use just rushing, rushing, rushing. It's time to pause and allow God to reset some things in our lives. So what did God say to Jacob here? God said to Jacob, you've run for long enough, and it's time to return. Maybe that's what God's saying to you this morning. Maybe that's what God's saying to you this morning. You've run for long enough, and it's time to return. It's time to come back. You see, when you get to the place of safety and security, you don't need to run anymore. Because you're safe back home where you should be. I used to walk in the fields near to where we used to live in Watford. And quite regularly there'd be livestock in there and usually horses. Now, I'm not averse to the odd horse, the odd sheep, cow. I'm not overly keen on a bull in a field, but, you know, I don't mind walking through those. But on one occasion, I was out for a stroll, and it was getting late and starting to get dark, and I'd just paused halfway through the field just to have one of my a sailor moment. And as I'm contemplating there, I heard distant sound of footsteps going clippity cloppity clippity cloppity clippity cloppity clippity clop, and I'm thinking, that's not you, Lord, is it? Coming on a white horse, is it? And I hear this clippity-clop getting louder and louder, and it wasn't getting quieter and quieter, it was getting louder and louder. And this kind of concerned me a little bit, because these footsteps weren't, they were going at quite a pace as well. And I could not see where these footsteps were coming from. But I knew it was heading my way. So I took off at the speed of light. Back up the field, I did the fastest 100 metres I've ever done in my life. Normally it's run, Forrest, run when they see me going past. But this was, there goes Usain Bolt. I was there, I was gone. It was the fastest 100 metres I've ever done. And by stealth, determination, and with much grace, I made it safely to the gate at the top. It would be safe to say that I ran for my life. But once I was back on safe ground, and once I was back home telling Sim all about it, who was full of sympathy, not, there was no need to run anymore because I was safely home. And God was saying to Jacob, you've run and fled for long enough. It's time to return home to a place of safety, security, where you won't have to run anymore. And Jacob already knew where that place was. He knew the place he needed to go because God had already met with him and spoken to him at that place. In Genesis 28, verse 10, we read Jacob's dream where he saw a stairway to heaven and dreamt of all the angels ascending and descending on it. And he named the place Bethel, which means the place where God dwells. And in Genesis 35, verse 1, we read, God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau. Go up to Bethel and settle there. If you're going to settle somewhere, you have to be still. If you're going to be still, then you will know. If you're going to know, then you'll go and do great exploits in the name of your God. He told him to go back to the place where God is. I wonder what God's telling you to do today. Is God telling you to go back to the place where God is? Is God calling you back to that place of encounter where you first met him, where you first experienced him, where you first knew him, where you said, this is God with me, this is my Emmanuel, God with us. The place where God is. That was the place of Jacob's encounter, the place where God dwells. The place where God dwells is a place of safety and security. Psalm 91:1 says, he who dwells, abides, settles in the shelter of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. You see, this is a place where you never need to run away from ever anything ever again. In fact, God wants to turn it on its head for you today. And he's saying that you need to stop running from your past, your enemies, your challenges, your trials, your tribulations in life, and start running to him. You've run from for long enough. Now you need to run to him. Amen. You've run from for long enough. Now you need to run to him. Now, let me just emphasize here. Running is an action word. You can't stand still and run. You need to make a decision and actively run towards God and pursue him. You see, some of us are moving, but we're still not actively seeking after God. We might be attending church, might even be reading our Bible, praying, but we're remaining in the same place because we're not actively putting into practice what God is telling us to do. We think we're moving, but are actually in the same place. We're on a spiritual treadmill. And we're going along and we're saying, this is great, I'm moving in God. And God's looking at us and saying, well, you're not getting very far, are you? Say, I am. Think of all the exercise I'm getting. This is great. I'm spiritually fit. And God says, you're not moving anywhere. You need to get off the treadmill. You need to start with purpose and destination in mind. You see, when I get on a treadmill in one of these gyms, I'm not thinking, well, where should I go? I know. I'll go to the other end of the hotel. No. I know when I got on the treadmill, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to end up in the same place. Well, I hope I am, because if I'm not, there's something wrong with the treadmill and I might end in the pool or something. But, you know, I'm on the treadmill. I expect to get off at the same place that I got on. There are too many Christians getting off at the same place they got on. And God, God wants us to get off the treadmill. You know, don't be like the Israelites who circled around for 40 years. Because there are Christians who've been Christian for 40 years and they're still exactly the same place that they were 40 years ago. Which is why God's saying, whoa, stop. Time to stop and reset. Time to hit Ctrl-Alt-Delete. Trying to pause and reflect and to start to pursue Him. You've been coming round the mountain for too long. And you'll be singing it. You'll say, I'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming round the mountain when she comes. Start a bit lower, Tim. She'll be coming round the mountain, coming round. Listen, you'll be coming round the mountain when He comes. You'll be still coming around the mountain. He says, I'm here. I've come. And He's come back again. And you'll missed it. Get off the mountain. Get up the mountain. Not down. Not down the circle, the same place. Get up the mountain to the top. Hallelujah. Get the destination in mind. See Christ. The pursue the goal in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I press on, says Paul, to take hold of all that He's taken hold of me for. And I press on to the goal in Christ Jesus, which has called me heavenwards. Hallelujah. Get off the treadmill. Start to seek after Him. Come back to that place of Bethel where you encountered Him. Jacob made a decision to go to Bethel. The first thing he had to do was decide to go. There was a choice that had to be made. A decision to obey God's call. What decision will you make to change what you're doing and to change where you're at and to change what's happening in your life? Will you decide, as Jacob did, yes, I've had enough of running and fleeing. I'm going to go to Bethel. I'm going to the place. Because you've been to Bethel before. Some of you have been to Bethel before. Some of you encountered God there before. But now, today, God is calling you back to that place. Control, Alt, Delete, Reset. Go back and find God once again. And get off that treadmill and start making progress in Christ. Amen. Reevaluate, as God has caused the church to do through the pandemic. And see what He's saying for such a time as this. Hallelujah. Because the end times are coming. The Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. Words are happening. The world is changing and we can see. And we need to be ready and prepared. And we don't get ready on the treadmill. We get ready running the race marked out for us with perseverance. Hallelujah. So Jacob had to do something. He had to decide that he was going to go to Bethel. But there were some other things that Jacob had to do. He had to do something about before he went back to Bethel and re-encountered God. First, he had to make a decision to follow God. But to go to Bethel, there were some things that he had to leave behind as well. Now, I was staying at a hotel up in Rotherham the other week. It was in late evening and I just sat down to eat my dinner, my hot dinner. And I put one fork into my food. And as I put the fork into the food, the fire alarm went off. Oh, I don't know. Can you believe this? Lord, you could have waited 5 minutes. Now, I know you're supposed to leap up and flee, but I thought my dinner's just arrived and I can't smell smoke. I'll see if this alarm stops in a moment. Well, unfortunately, it didn't. So I picked up my phone, I picked up my laptop, I picked up my tablet, I found my wallet, got my car keys, all the essentials that I needed, including a Coke in case it was cold and we were out for hours, and I made my way to reception along with most of the other guests. Well, we got to the top of the stairs and the alarm stopped. So we paused on the stairs, all of us, waiting to see if it started again, which it didn't. So I continued down to reception to see if it's a real or a false alarm. And the receptionist, when asked what it was, helpfully told us all that it was the fire alarm. I'm thinking, really? See why you pay you the big bucks, can't we? She's sharp, she was. Now, they tell you that when you're in that sort of situation, and please don't do what I do. If you're watching, please don't try this at home. Please do not do what I did. Because they tell me that what you're supposed to do in these situations is to leave all your belongings behind and make your way straight to the nearest exit. This is a public safety announcement this morning. But I didn't want to. I wanted to take some of the things with me, like my car keys and a coat and my wallet and my, you know. You see, there are some things that we're trying to take with us in God. And God is saying, leave all your belongings behind you. Make your way straight to the nearest exit. Go straight to Bethel. Do not pass go. Do not collect 100 pounds. Go straight to Bethel. Jacob said to his household in verse 2, get rid of your foreign gods, which you have with you. Purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel. Maybe there are some things that God is calling you to leave behind because you cannot take them to Bethel with you. There are some things you need to put aside, to stop, to lay aside, to put down. What is it that stops you going into the presence of God? What is it that hinders your journey back to the Lord, to the secret place? Psalm 24, 3-4, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. Matthew 5, 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What stops you from going to Bethel today? Because I want to say, at the end of the day, only you can stop yourself from going to Bethel. Only you can stop yourself from resetting, from hitting control, alt, delete, from pausing, reflecting, from going where God is calling you. Let's have the band back, please. There are many things in this world and many excuses that we use and point our finger at and say, oh, it's because of that I can't do this. Well, I'm too busy, I can't do that. Oh, I can't manage because of this. There are many excuses we can give. But when God calls you, when God summons you, no excuses wash. There is nothing you can say that he says, oh, all right, I'll let you off this time. It doesn't work like that. Because when God wants you because he wants the very best for you. He doesn't want you to miss out on what is best. What did he say to Martha and Mary? He said, what Mary has chosen is better. And some of us need to capture the better of God. We've gone along with the good for too long, and now God is saying, I want you to have the best, because there's more for you to experience at Bethel. And some of you think, there's no way I can get to Bethel. I've encountered God before, but he wants to take you to a new place today. He wants you to, Hebrews 12, 1-2, to since you're surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off action. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance back to Bethel, back to the place where God dwells, the race marked out for us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What choice and decision do you need to make today? They say, well, I've been to Bethel before. I've encountered God before. He's looking to take you to a new place, in that place of encounter, and do a new thing in your life, Isaiah 43:19. I want to say to you, there is nothing that can stop you from setting out, making the decision to set out for. And there is nothing can stop you from actually reaching Bethel. There is no principality or power or ruler of this dark age that can stop you, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There's no power of hell. There's no scheme of man that can ever pluck you out of his hand. You can jump out of his hand, but nothing can pluck you out of his hand. And he's calling you back into his hand to put your hand in his today. To go to a new place, to do a new thing. See, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, heart has not conceived what God has in store for those who love him. And this morning he's drawing his people. He's saying, come back to Bethel. Come back to the place where I am. Come to the place to be still and know. The place where you can be still, where you can settle and be still and abide under the shadow of my wings, where you can be still and know that I am God. Know in your heart that I am God. He's drawing you to that place. No power can keep you. Nothing can stop you. Because here in the power of Christ, you stand. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when strivings cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. This is the experience at Bethel. In Christ alone who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. Hallelujah. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. Sin's curse has lost its grip on me. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth and followed thee. For I am his. And he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Let me say to someone this morning, there is no way your goodness could get you to heaven, could cause you to be saved. And there is no way that your badness can prevent you from being saved. There is no way your goodness can get you saved, and therefore there is no way that your badness can prevent you from being saved. Because it is Christ who took it all. And here in the Christ, the death of Christ, I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. Hallelujah. Let's stand this morning. Come on, let's stand this morning. As the guys lead us in this hymn, let's stand and declare what we believe. Let's declare that we believe that nothing can hinder us, nothing can stop us. Hallelujah. Come on, lead us in this, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
In Christ alone, my hope is. sing this again in a moment, but just before we do, there's some people that God is calling to come back. Maybe you're watching this morning and you know you need to recommit your life back to Christ. Maybe you're in here this morning, you haven't been to church for a while, and all sorts of circumstances, situation have caused you to be stuck on the treadmill. God is calling you back today. Maybe you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you've never ever visited that place called Bethel where you meet God. But this morning He's calling you and He's drawing you, and His invitation is open to anyone who will come. Anyone who is willing. So just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning, if you know that you need to give your life back to Christ, if you know you need to give your life to Christ for the very first time, I'd just like you to do something brave for us this morning. Not going to embarrass you in any way, but we want to lead you in a prayer this morning that will help you on that journey. Is there anyone who needs to make that decision? Just pop your hand up, catch my attention this morning so that we can just pray a prayer with you this morning. Anyone here? God's calling you back. God's calling you back to Bethel. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else here this morning who needs to make that decision? You see, when you come to that place, everything changes. Everything changes at Bethel. Jacob could have run for years. He could have fled for years and nothing would have changed. And had he not gone to Bethel, nothing would have changed for him. But through making the decision and the choice to go to Bethel, everything changed. Everything for his future changed. And for some here this morning, the decision that you're making to go to Bethel, whether it's recommitting your life, whether it's committing your life for the very first time, or whether it's just making the decision to seek God in you, to pause, reflect, to control, alt, delete, everything is going to change for you at Bethel. Everything is going to change for you. I'm going to pray a prayer this morning, and if you're watching online and you need to make that decision, I invite you to pray this prayer with us this morning. As you choose to accept Christ as your personal Savior and make a declaration of faith, I'm going to invite us all to pray together to help that gentleman who put his hand up this morning as we pray and stand with these people who are making decisions this morning. Prayer goes like this. Come on, church. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me on the cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago. I thank you that no power of hell, no scheme of man can pluck me from your hand. And I choose today to commit my life into your hands. I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I choose to surrender my life into your hands, to follow you and to serve you. From this day, for the rest of my life, I thank you for saving me. Forgive me for my past, and I embrace my future. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God praise this morning. Give God praise. Come on, let's go into this again. And as we sing it, I want you to declare what you believe, that nothing can stop you obtaining what God has for you. There is nothing. Some people think there's no way I could get there. There's no way I could do it. God is saying to you this morning, there is no power in hell, no scheme of man. Nothing can stand in your way once you make that decision and you say, God, I am yours. I choose to follow you. I choose to surrender to you. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father. Come on, guys. No guilt in life.
No fear in death.
This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. And no power of heaven, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck us from his hand. Till he returns or calls us home, we stand in the power of Christ, knowing that greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of you till he returns or calls you home. In the power of Christ, you stand. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Have a great week. The Lord bless you. Please come and talk to us if you made a decision today.